You and I are listening to the Trapdoor's January Story Showcase. I'm Ben Clemmer, and it's great to be with you. Our next speaker is Megan Elizabeth Sutton, and her story begins with a perhaps familiar setting on New Year's Eve. Thank you for listening.
New Year's Eve, a year ago, was the most stressful New Year's Eve I'd ever experienced in my life. It was more stressful than the year 2000, when we were all like 30% sure that the world was gonna end. And it was more stressful than the year 2012 when Dick Clark died and the Mayan calendar predicted the end of the world. Both very stressful for me. The reason it was so stressful is that at about 3 o'clock in the morning, I was sitting on the edge of my bed and my wonderful husband was holding our wastebasket and I was vomiting badly, a lot, into this wastebasket, which may sound real familiar for a lot of New Year's Eves for a lot of you, but was not really something super familiar to me. And the reason was is that I had gotten really drunk, also familiar for a lot of people. The reason I got really drunk, though, is because I hadn't drank for about 8 weeks, because 8 weeks prior, I was diagnosed with cancer. It was really... really bad. It was not something you really want to hear ever. And I had a surgery on Halloween. Side note, when you have surgery on Halloween, nurses wear like headbands with bats. And you come out of anesthesia and you're real sure you died. You're real sure. So I'd had a surgery and unfortunately the surgery didn't get rid of the cancer. And so I had not been drinking, and I'd had surgery, and I had cancer. And I allowed myself to get really drunk on New Year's Eve, and I threw up all of this stress and worry and angst and anger and all of it that night. And my wonderful husband, they just dealt with it. And I was crying, and I was mad, because 2 days after that, after I recovered from my hangover, I went and got a port put in, which makes me bionic, just so you know. I can literally be plugged in. It's pretty cool. And then on the 12th of January, I started cancer treatment. So happy New Year, right? It was a huge bummer. The bonus is that I'm at my deductible by January 12th. So. Pretty good. So there's a lot about me that has changed, you know, including just the fact that I got, you know, like drunk out of my mind on New Year's Eve, and, you know, I'd never really done it to that extent before. And I found that the whole year, 2018, I changed a lot as a person. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. So having cancer treatments, we've all seen, like, on TV, and maybe in your real lives, what people who have cancer treatments look like. Okay, I look just like this, and people tell me I look good all the time. I looked just like this before I had cancer, and nobody ever told me how good I looked. So, it's kind of cool. It's kind of nice. So, you know, I look great, thanks. But that being said, I did have side effects, of course. I had terrible headaches, and I threw up a little bit, and... I have some kids, and I was a pretty, like, super planner mom. Like, we'd go on vacation, and every kid, we'd get a binder with age-appropriate worksheets for the car ride in it. Yeah. I'm not that anymore, but I do remember one day specifically, our youngest daughter, Agatha, at the time she was 9. Can you imagine being 9 and being told your mom has cancer? So I got a little lenient sometimes. So she's like, "Mom, I don't feel good." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, stay home from school. It'll be great." And we laid on the couch all day and ate Oreo cookies. And I don't feel bad about that. And that's something I never would have done. I never would have done something like that before I had cancer. So, you know, I've kind of learned to try to enjoy my kids in a different way now. And that's a really nice thing. So I can tell you, and maybe some of you have experienced this, when you're told you have cancer, there are two outcomes, okay? One is that you die, and the other is that you get better, and then you don't have cancer anymore, and everything's fine. But really what happens is that your treatment causes so many weird things that you then have to deal with for the rest of your life. For me, my treatment killed my pituitary gland in my brain, which affects my whole adrenal system. And when they found that out, it really scared the doctor, and they gave me like a 200 milligram infusion of steroids. So I had a whole weekend of roid rage, which I'd never experienced before. So any of you jocks out there, I can identify now, another bonus. We went to a graduation party, and you know, my husband had left his phone in the car, which is not a big deal. I knew exactly where he was at the graduation party, but he didn't answer his phone. And I had 400 milligrams of steroids running through my veins. And I barge into this graduation party at my church. And I'm like, what are you doing? Why didn't you answer your phone? You could have died. I could have died. What would have happened if I died? And I was yelling and being ridiculous. And this really nice lady like pats me on the back and is like, this isn't you. It's okay. It wasn't me. But that night, I was standing, it was like June, and I'm standing in the middle of the street at midnight after this whole day of roid rage and finding out the day before that I was almost dead and just mass chaos, and I'm standing there at midnight just crying and screaming, and you say all those terrible cliche things. Why is this happening to me? What if I don't make it through? All of this stuff. And despite the fact that I wasn't drunk, it felt a lot like New Year's Eve, but without the drunk, instead steroids. So very similar feeling. And I think that we have to look at this and say, having cancer, it just sucks, point blank, all over the place. There's really no good about it. And we can put a silver lining on things. And we can say, I learned so much. And I appreciate my children more. And I'm a more patient person. But really, I'm also not a more patient person. I've been like at a coffee shop. And you know when you go to a coffee shop, and I have one I go to all the time, Old Crown. And unfortunately, I also know a lot of people at Old Crown. And you walk in and you're like, I'm gonna get a coffee. Don't talk to me. No one talk to me. And then someone comes in and they're like, oh, how are you? You look so good. And I'm like, I'm fine. And that's it. And then they're like, but are you really? I'm like, I'm not dead. So it beats the alternative. I'm fine. And I have no problem doing that. I have no problem being absolutely terribly rude to people. That being said, I'm also a lot more patient in a lot of ways. My husband has been like an amazingly wonderful patient person through all this. He's been my caretaker. He had to do really gross stuff for me that was terrible and gross. I don't even know how else to describe it. And he did it, and he did it without complaining. And I've learned, like I thought I knew what it meant to love someone, and I didn't at all. Like I did not know, and now I know. And that is probably worth having cancer for, I guess. But maybe, only maybe. I feel like there's other ways we could have learned that, right? So as I was kind of going through this, I also got the news that right after I started treatment that my college roommate was diagnosed with cancer 9 weeks, almost exactly after I was, which makes you wonder what was in the water. What did we do? What happened, right? And so here we were, you know, in our mid-30s with small children fighting cancer together. And we weren't very close, really, over the last 15 or so years. But that really brought us back together. And she also had surgeries, and she had chemo, and she had radiation, and she had a power port. And so there's all this funny stuff we could talk about with each other that no one else my age really understood. So that was kind of nice. But as I was getting ready to wrap up the worst year ever, and now, you know, no longer having treatments because my pituitary gland died, so who knows if cancer is going to come back, and like all these questions, and now I have to take a pill every day for 3 times a day. Do you know how hard that is to remember? Just all of these things that maybe in a different light, my health isn't, it's not great. I mean, I'm not dead, like I'm fine, but it's not perfect. And so we're wrapping up 2018, right? And there's a great movie that I love by the Coen brothers called Burn After Reading. And this movie is crazy. Nothing in it makes sense. Like, nothing. Nothing in it makes sense. And the FBI is involved. And at the end of the movie, the FBI director is sitting there. And he's got the file open. And he says, what do we learn from this? What the fuck did we learn from this? Not do it again? Whatever it was? He's like, what a fuck crock of shit. And he slams the folder closed. And I definitely feel like that sums up my 2018. What a fucking crocodile. And yes, I did learn really great things, but I would have been just as fine probably to not learn most of those great things. I can say that New Year's Eve 2019 felt very different. My friend Amy, who was diagnosed with cancer 9 weeks after I was, through a We Survived 2018 New Year's Eve party. And a lot of our friends from college came, which was really meaningful for both of us. And there were like 1,000 tiny children running around, very clear that there was something in the water. And it was totally fun and chaotic and messy and just felt really good to say, yeah, I did survive 2018, and there was like a chance I wouldn't, which is something I had never been able to say before. So I was very happy to say, Happy New Year 2019. Don't suck as bad as 2018. Thank you.